Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we come before you today excited. We are excited to meet with you. We are excited to hear from you through the songs that are sung, through the scriptures that are read, and through the words that are spoken. Help us to listen. Help us to put aside the thoughts that so easily distract us, and help us to focus on you with all our heart. Help us as we are beginning a new school year to live out our faith. Help us to take what we learned today and put it into practice. Be with us now and throughout the service, that in all that we do, we would glorify you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Carrie Beth, in the children's sermon, and I think that you all are perceptive enough to know that it's not just for children, shared with us something that Jesus said, and we're supposed to use Jesus as our example, and even as school starts, that's a pretty good thing for us to do, and to remind you of what he did say in the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 28 and following, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. And if you're not this morning, wait a few weeks and you will be." So hold on to the scripture. "Do that," he says, "and I will give you rest." In other words, I don't want you to be burdened down all the time. "Take my yoke upon you," that means you got to spend a little time with me, "and learn from me. Be my disciples. For really, I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The responsive reading had interwoven into it the 90th psalm. And I want to go back and read part of that psalm this morning. A little bit unusual. Most of the psalms are attributed to David. This one's attributed to Moses. It's a psalm about life. And it's a psalm about time. My wife told me I preached a little long last week. So just in case I couldn't keep up with the time, I've got an hourglass up here. And we're going to leave it there this morning, so that you'll be reminded symbolically as well as through the spoken word that time is precious and it's fleeting. And it sifts through our lives much like grains of sand sift through an hourglass. "Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." He is eternal. "You turn us back to dust and say, 'Turn back, you mortals, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. Sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.' For all of our days pass away rather rapidly. Our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if they are strong, thereabout. But even at their longest, they're still pretty short. They are soon gone." And we fly away. "So, Lord, would you teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom?" Tom Rainier is a minister, prolific author, church consultant, who travels throughout the United States. He and his son, Art Rainier, not all that long ago, co-authored a book. It's entitled Simple Life. How can we simplify this complicated, chaotic lifestyle that we in the United States of America have adopted, even in the church? And as preparation for this book, The Simple Life, his son had a very unusual type of research methodology. He lived in Boca Raton, Florida, and as he was preparing to help his dad co-author this book, he would go out almost every evening and he would walk through a local cemetery. When his dad said, "What in the world are you doing?" he explained as follows. "Dad, I came to this cemetery to gain some perspective. I could not think of a more inspirational location than to be surrounded by those whose earthly story had come to an end. If they could, Dad, what would they tell us? Now that their lives are over, what wisdom would they want to pass on? What were their regrets? Where did they get it right? Though the sands of time in my life's hourglass are still running for me, Dad, with every breath I breathe, I am moving toward my physical closure. And one day my body will be like theirs. On each grave marker is a dash between 2 years. The dash is time. That is where we are, Dad, in our dash. And before there is some year placed on the other end of it, we need to figure this thing out." Well spoken, Art Rainier. All of us are in our dash. But before a date is put on the right side of it, don't you think it would be a good idea for you and me as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, with his help and the encouragement of one another, to figure this thing out? Many of you know that my maternal grandfather, Calvin Long, was the caretaker of a cemetery, Sunset Memorial Gardens on US 60 between Versailles and Frankfort. He and my grandmother lived in a big white two-story farmhouse. It was adjacent to the cemetery. There were 8 of us grandkids. Nothing was better in all the world than to go to our grandparents' house. Guess where we played? Cemeteries didn't bother us. They were neat places. Games of hide and seek. You could hide from your grandparents and parents as long as you wanted to out there in Sunset Memorial Gardens. Ghost stories. My granddad would have lines of vaults, concrete vaults that would be used for the burial later. They would be lined up in a lot adjacent to the cemetery, and we would jump on those things. They were great stepping stones. I've got a cousin to this day who only has half of a front tooth because he missed it a little bit and hit a vault. One of the more adventuresome games we played was check out the gravestone markers. So we'd go out through the gravestone markers, and the deal was, who can find the person that's buried here that was the oldest? So we'd scurry through all those gardens and Sunset Memorial Gardens. One of my cousins will say, "I got it, man, 1905. Pretty good. 1905 to 1982. Somebody said, "Nah, I got that beat, 1880. Golly, man. They were born a while back, lived a long time. Every now and then it would get a little sad. I'd say, "Oh, man. This person was just 16 years old when they died. This person was 10, one of my cousins said. Then there was the day when we saw the little grave of a stillborn baby who didn't live one day. But we would continue to check out the gravestones in the cemetery, and every now and then we would run up on one where there was not a date on the right side of the dash. These are the people that just did pre-funeral planning. That's not a bad idea. You ought to do it. Save your loved ones a lot of emotional distress later on. Just get it done. Then they can blame you. You won't care. You're not going to be here. Just do it. But they would. Born 1953, dash blank. Born 1940, dash blank. Born 1985, dash blank. All those people are still living. All those people are still alive. Most of you all look like you're still alive this morning. Nobody, as far as I can tell, here in this room or listening on the radio today, has had engraved on their gravestone marker a date on the right side of the dash. But the sands of time are still kind of flowing. And one day the date will be engraved. How's your dash? The dash poem was written by Linda Ellis. Not our Linda Ellis, though she could have done it, but Linda Ellis. It was metamorphed into a dash video movie. About 4.5 minutes. It's been viewed 36 million times. The poem, though I only heard about it a couple of years ago, Scott Fitzpatrick was the first person here that told me about it, actually was written back in 1996. Kind of goes like this. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live in love and how we live our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there some things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, what do you want folks to say about you, how you've spent your dash? The concept of the dash is not new. It's as old as the Bible. It's right there in Psalm 90. The writer calls it numbering our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Trying to figure this thing out while there is still some time. So we all still got some time this morning. I hope we got a lot. Some of us might not have much at all. But with the time that we got, what are we going to do with it? What's God want us to do with it? How are we going to spend our dash? You might be asking, why this sermon today, Bob? Well, it's a biblical sermon. It's pertinent any day at any time, but there are those certain occasions in life when we seem to be just a little bit more perceptive to listen to God's word. You know why the sermon today? School just started. Really? Fall season's just occurred. You can ask sociologists, psychologists, demographers, ministers, school officials, the busiest time of the year is between now and Christmas. Busiest time. We're in it. When my kids were still in school, where in the world did those years go, incidentally? I called it the FFFs, the frenetic fall frenzies. It was crazy, man. Still is. Football practice every day. Football game on Saturday night. Band practice every day. Play for the band on Friday night. Go to a band marching contest on Saturday, if not Sunday, if you have to travel. Chess club and beta club. There's swimming lessons and piano lessons, too. And don't forget the dance lessons. Those are really, really important. And Wednesday nights, well, yeah, I know we got mission friends and GAs and RAs and church and children's choirs. But, man, Bob, we've got basketball Wednesday night and soccer and swimming. And if we don't show up, the coach won't let us play. And, well, you know how that goes. Well, we can't use Wednesday nights too much anymore, so what about Sunday nights? Sunday nights, Bob, are you kidding? We're just getting back from the weekend travel squad. We hadn't been home all weekend, Bob. We got to start school 7:30 the next morning. I don't think Sunday night's going to work. Thank heaven for Sunday morning. God's day. Lord's day. Sabbath day. Soccer practice at 10 o'clock. Baseball games at 11. Kids that can come to early worship have to wear their cleats so they'll be on time. You think life's changed? You think the FFFs impact all of us, church included? Everybody sitting in this pew this morning? If you don't have kids, you got grandkids, or have kids, you got kids or grandkids. It impacts us all. Sunday's no longer a sacred day. It's just another day. In fact, it's a busier day than some of the other days. How are you spending your dash? From the perspective of eternity, what you're doing on Sunday mornings and Sundays and every other afternoon and night through the week, how's that going to play out one day in terms of what really, really matters? Well, that's why. Man, we're in it. New York Times had the following to say about this phenomena that we're in the fall, entitled Summer's a Memory and Fall is Frenetic, comes from Susan Warner. I'm allergic to September, she said. Gosh. The holidays and springs are busy too, but at least those are fun. September, August, that's when you have to make all your decisions about the rest of the year, and you better plan carefully. You'll be left out. Families are so busy now that many are engaged in triage. If you don't know what that is, go to an emergency room of a hospital or to a battlefield. Families are so busy now that many are engaged in triage, juggling not one, but two or three activities a day, often at the same time, enabled by fast food drive-in windows and carpools. The frenzy is nationwide. From sports to scouting to Irish step dancing and Hebrew school, everybody's busy. I do think it's wrong that we're so busy, said a freelance writer and editor with two elementary school kids of her own up in New Jersey. I wonder if sometimes we have gotten to a place where this is how we're comfortable rather than our kids. While parents may head into a heavy schedule of activities with good intentions, childhood experts, very interesting here, maintain that there is also a downside to this frenzy, frenetic scheduling. For instance, professors tell us that educators are now growing increasingly concerned about students arriving at college who have been scheduled their entire lives and now, with all this newfound freedom, have a difficult time making their own decisions. Wow. Jim Loper said that many sports that were once seasonal now go year-round, forcing students to choose just one. Mr. Loper said that while his organization limited the number of high school games to three a week, many athletes went beyond that and played additional games for club or travel teams on the weekends. We know that's what's going on out there, and it's really too much, and they're all going to make the pros and be billionaires, right? And you know how much I love sports. You do. Well, there are some ways that can help everybody feel that they're not sacrificing their relationships to become ships passing in the night, but it's so hard to go against what everybody else is doing. But if a child is really resisting and wearing everybody out, if they really don't want to go, then I think it's important to look at it realistically and for parents to ask if the child is really getting just tired. Marcia Mara, who's a mother of three in Ridgewood, New Jersey, started this program. I love this program. It's called Ready, Set, Relax. She really did this. And she asks schools and coaches and families to set aside one night a year, not a month, but one night a year in which there will be no after-school activities at all. Zero. Go home, be with your family, meet your brothers and sisters. And they did it. God, they did it. Just one night a year, but hey. And 10 other communities joined them. Ready, set, relax. How you spending your dash? And I don't have the answer. It's pretty hard. But if those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ can't give God a little time on Sunday mornings for God's sake, where do you think the church is going to be in 10 years, ladies and gentlemen? That joker's preaching up there and meddling in my business. And we've already got our fall schedule set. And Bob, we're going to be at church two times this fall. Don't you think that's good? We're going to be doing good things all the rest of the time, Bob, but we'll see. We'll make Christmas and Thanksgiving and a couple of other times when we don't have... Okay. You got your own hourglass. How you using your dash? Well, that's the why. That's enough of that stuff. Let's do some how stuff. I mean, could we make it any better? Okay, let's try. Well, first thing you want to do is get up early and pray. You're nuts, Baker. We don't get enough sleep. Get up early and pray. Don't blame me, blame Jesus. That's what happened in Mark chapter 1. It was the frenetic fall frenzy season. He had just started. He was calling disciples. He was doing miracles. People were coming. They were bringing all kinds of folks to him. It's going good, Jesus. We've only got 5 games this week, Jesus. Come on and hang in there just a little while longer. And they couldn't find him the next morning because he got up early, according to Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and went out to a lonely place and he prayed. We're all going to be busy, and I know you can't just go totally against the system, but let me ask you something. Are you going to be too busy this fall to pray? Ask God to help you? Get through this day? Know how to battle this schedule? Know what's right? Know what's enough? Know when it's time to stay home? Know when it's time to get to church? Know when it's time to make some travel squads? That's okay periodically. That's all right. But God, would you help us have a, how do they put it, heart of wisdom? Get up early and pray. Here's the second thing you can do. Get an hourglass, man. We've called all over Lexington. I'm trying to get an hourglass. I wish I owned this one. I would pay big bucks for this one. George White down in Danville, Kentucky, who has loaned me this throughout the years, won't sell it to me. And Lord help me if I break this, folks. I'm not going to do it. Pretty good reminder, though. Just to see it there. So there's something else that that you can do that'll help you along, too. Go to a funeral. Baker, have you totally lost your mind today? Go to a funeral. One of the few times ministers will tell you that we really have people's attention is at a funeral service. It's not because we preach fabulous sermons. That has nothing to do with it. It's because there's a body there, and people are dead, and people are crying, and people are grieving. And really, everybody out there in the pew or at the funeral home is thinking, one day, that's going to be me. Now, they're not saying that. And they might cover it up with all kinds of jokes and stories and laughter, but I want to tell you, because I've preached a lot of them, that's when God can get our attention. Go to a funeral. I've preached 431 funerals. They're all recorded right here in my pastoral record book. And every now and then, I just pick up the book. I don't even have to look inside of it. It just reminds me, Baker, how you using your dash, Bob? Because there's lots of dashes in this book. And guess what? Every one of them's got a date on the other side. 431. From the stillborn baby to the 102-year-old gentleman. From the 2.5-month-old who died of SIDS to the 18-year-old who was murdered to the 45-year-old father of 3 who died suddenly of a heart attack after he'd been in church just the previous Sunday, and I saw him and spoke to him. All kinds of causes. Some of them died because of heart attacks. There's several in here that died because of Lou Gehrig's disease. There were some who were murdered, at least 3 who committed suicide. Several of various ages, including some young teenagers who died in automobile accidents. If you can't get an hourglass and you don't have a pastoral record, get something. Go to a funeral. And know you don't have forever. And the sands of time are sifting downward. But there is something you can get. Go out and get some marbles. Did you play marbles as a kid? I did. We played for keeps, got in trouble. We played anyway. We didn't care. Marbles. A story that's kind of floated through church and even floated here a time or two is the story of the 1,000 marbles. The older I get, he says, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings. Perhaps it's the quiet solitude that comes with being the first to rise, or maybe it's the unbounded joy of not having to be at work. Either way, first few hours of a Saturday morning are most enjoyable. A few weeks ago, I was shuffling toward the basement shack with a steaming cup of coffee, must have been Starbucks, in one hand and the morning paper in the other. What began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that seems to hand you from time to time from life. Let me tell you about it. I turned up the dial on my ham radio. It was ham radio operator. And there was this golden voice of this older gentleman, and I was kind of halfway listening, and he said something about 1,000 marbles. Well, I turned the dial up into the phone portion of the band on my ham radio and was kind of intrigued, so I listened in. And he said to another person, "Well, Tom, it sure sounds like you're busy with your job. I'm sure they pay you well, but it's a shame you have to be away from home and your family so much. Hard to believe a young fellow should have to work 60 or 70 or 80 hours a week to make ends meet. Too bad you missed your daughter's dance recital, Tom. Let me tell you something, Tom, something that's helped me keep a good perspective on my own priorities." And that's when he began to explain the theory of 1,000 marbles. "You see, Tom, I sat down one day and did a little arithmetic. The average person lives about 75 years. I know some people live more, some people less, but on the average, 75 years. Now then, I multiplied 75 times 52, and I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in their entire lifetime. 3,900 Saturdays. Stick with me, Tom, I'm getting there. It took me until I was 55 years old to think about all of this in detail, and by that time, I had lived through over 2,800 Saturdays. I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had about 1,000 of them left to enjoy. So I went to a toy store, and I bought every single marble that they had. I had to go to about 3 different toy stores, and I rounded up 1,000 marbles. Put them in a crystal clear glass bowl right in my shack where I talk on my ham radio every Saturday. 1,000 marbles. Every Saturday since then, I've taken one of those marbles out, threw it away. It's kind of amazing, Tom," he said, "how much more you focus on what's really important in life when you're watching your time here on this earth run out." And I found that by watching the marbles diminish, that I focused more on what's really, really important. There's nothing like watching your time here on this earth run out to get your priorities great. Now let me tell you one last thing before I sign off and take my lovely wife out to breakfast. This morning, Tom, I took the very last marble out of the container. I figure if I make it until next Saturday, then I have been given a little extra time. The one thing we could all use is a little extra time. "Nice to meet you, Tom. Hope you spend more time with your family. Hope to meet you again here on the band." When he signed off, you could hear a pin drop. Well, I had planned to work on the antenna that morning, and then I was going to go meet up with a few other ham radio operators, and we were going to work on the next club newsletter. You know, that's really important. But instead, I went upstairs and woke my wife up with a kiss. "Come on, honey. I'm taking you and the kids to breakfast." "What brought that on?" she said. "Oh, nothing special. It's just been a long time since we spent a Saturday together with the kids. And hey, if you don't mind, could we stop at a toy store? I need to buy some marbles." The sands of time are still flowing. Marbles are still diminishing. Days, years, and months are still passing. Funerals are still happening. But you're still living. How are you using your dash? Gracious God, giver of all good gifts, including the gift of life, may we not take it for granted ever. Even in busy seasons, God, teach us to number our days. Help us to follow the example of Jesus and to rely upon his guidance and grace in the name of the one who wants us to have some rest today.